Thank you very much. I enjoyed the song service this morning very much. We're a little few in numbers, but the singing was good, and I appreciated Brother Darrell's humble prayer. We have a different type of worship service than most of the other Christian denominations. Ours is a very simple service. We sing from the heart, we pray from the heart, and we preach. It's a very simple service, and we don't get involved in a lot of things. Ours is different. We're sometimes accused of being old-fashioned or old-timey or out of date because we don't have the big choirs, the instrumental music, those type of things. We don't put on a big show. Everything from ours comes from the heart. That's what it's supposed to be and intended to be, and that's for a reason. We have our... I want to look at our service a minute, and I really want to focus on singing a little bit this morning to talk to you about it. We have our church service that, again, is these very simple. Apostle Peter tells us, 1 Peter, I believe, chapter 2, that he says, we should not be corrupted away from the simplicity that is in Christ. Ours is a simple message. Christ saved us before the foundation of the world. We don't have anything to do toward our salvation. Our job is to say thank you and praise him for what he did. It's that simple. You know, and we do that in very simple fashion. We do it by coming here and we sing to him. I said all our songs are actually our songs are sermons in themselves to him. We pray to him and we preach to him. We preach, you know, I was accused of being a preacher to the congregation. Lord, I hope I don't do anything without his direct approving and him putting words in my mouth and thoughts on my mind to you to give you comfort. But it's always about him. All the glory is due to him, and that's why we come here to worship with our singing, our praying, and our preaching. Preaching is mostly done by the minister that's up here up front. It's to the congregation, hopefully with the words of the Lord. Prayerfully it is. Our prayer, as Brother Darrell gave, is usually by an individual, and it's an individual prayer in behalf, excuse me, of the congregation. Singing is the one part of our service in which the entire congregation participates. And that's one of the reasons that we have a cappella singing, is because everybody gets to participate. You know, I love music. I love instrumental music. You know, I'm a child of the 60s. I sing along. I love all the old rock bands. I can name most of them, you know, from all the songs that I used to love and play. Usually the music was too loud that I couldn't really understand the words, but I knew the song. You don't understand the words. That's what songs are about, is about the words. And today's music, of course, I'm just like my dad was back in the 60s. I don't understand your music. I don't understand the kids' music today. Don't understand what's going on. I end up watching a little bit of on TV the other night, a little bit of a rap music, and I had difficulty following it. I could see what they're doing, and I liked the beat, but I couldn't understand the words they were saying. Songs are words, and they're sermons in and of themselves. Apostle Paul tells us in 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he goes in and he's talking, and he speaks, and basically speaking about the use of tongues in church services. We don't believe in the use of tongues. If you have tongues, that's up to you. It's an individual thing. But the Apostle Paul goes here, and I'm going to summarize a little bit of chapter 14, where he says, you know, it doesn't do any good to speak in tongues if nobody understands you. You know, you speak in tongues so that people will understand you, and I'm not condemning anybody else. I believe in speaking in tongues if that's what you have of communicating to the Lord. We're told sometimes when people that are very sick, all they can do is groan, but the Lord knows what's on your heart and can read that. And singing, we know the words. We should know them and understand them, and we're to sing them to him. That's the participation part that the congregation does that we all do. I'm as guilty as anybody about not always singing as well as I could or even trying. None of us think our voices are really any good, but it's not about how good a singer you are. It's what's coming from your heart. Because it's directed to the Lord. It's just like your prayer. Your prayer is between you and the Lord. And a sincere prayer has a lot of impact on the Lord. When you go to Him in your heart, it has a lot of impact. You go and we try to do the preaching, and hopefully the Lord blesses us, have a good message, and you leave with a good feeling if the Lord blesses it. Not because of the preacher, but it's because of the Lord's participation in that. But the singing in the middle there is the part that we all play a role in. Now, we could bring in an organ or a piano. You know, we could bring in the violins and the trumpets and the bugles. And I can't play any of those. I don't have enough fingers, but I can play the drums. I was a drummer in school. So, I could do that. So I could do those. But if we play loud enough, you'll quit singing. Play loud enough, you won't be able to understand the words. And you don't really pay attention to words, you'll just sit back and listen. And if we happen to be really, really good at our musical instruments, then you'll just sit back and relax and say, I'm going to enjoy it. But what you're enjoying is the flesh. It's like I am when I turn on, the Beach Boys or, some of the songs of the 60s that I love so much. I can't remember who did it now. I should know them all. You have Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and the ones that sang Intergata Divita. I know those. A few of them I know. I know all the words to Hair. Long, Straight, Curly, Fuzzy, Snaggy, Shaggy, Retsy, Messy, All the Fleecy, Gracie. I know, I knew all those. I was singing that to me, though. That's for my enjoyment of the flesh. When we sing to church, we're to sing to the Lord. We're to let the Lord know that those words have meaning to us. And that's what Paul is telling us in the 14th chapter of Corinthians is, when we're speaking out loud, it needs to have meaning, not only to us, but it needs to have meaning to everybody else around us. I came to church one Sunday. It's when we were over on Avenue, 44th and P. No, it wasn't. Excuse me. It's on Avenue X. It's when 23rd and Avenue X, when I was a student at Tech. I think I'd been to a Tech ball game the night before that went overtime late, and I was running late as usual. And I got to church, and singing had already started. And I came in, and I can remember down that small, narrow church, came in and sat over on the left side, sat in next to a man. I didn't know who he was. I hadn't seen him. He was new to church. But I came in and sat down, just a safe enough distance away from him, a foot and a half or so, and sat down next to him. And the minute I sat down, we started the song, I knew I was in the wrong place. He was singing so off key, it was terrible. I almost wanted to, put my hands over my ears, and I went, oh, my gosh. I'm sitting in the wrong place. And I thought, I got to move, but I don't want to embarrass him. I don't want to do that, but I'm going, this is driving me crazy. I can't keep sitting here. I cannot enjoy the song service. When we sang that song, I thought the song was never going to end. And I'm trying to mouth the words, and I can't hear anything but his off-key voice, really bad. We finished that song, and he leaned over and looked at me, and he said, wasn't that beautiful? I thought, he got a blessing out of that song, and I was made the fool. And I started listening to him singing. And as bad off key as it was coming from his heart. And he was talking to the Lord. He didn't have a voice for singing, not to me. But what he was singing, he felt like was beautiful. Because he was meaning the words where they're coming from. That's why the Lord has us sing. That's why he has us keep it simple and sing a cappella, because he wants it to come from our heart, just like our prayer, just hopefully like the ministry is in the preaching. That's what he wants the singing to be, is coming from our heart. Apostle Paul tells us in here, he says, for if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall be prepared for battle? They always used the trumpets, and they knew the sound of those silver trumpets. I've preached on that before. About they made a beautiful, clear sound, but if it gives an uncertain sound. He's talking about speaking in tongues. So likewise, ye except utter by the tongue words easy to be understood. If you don't utter words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world that none of them is without signification. You come up with your own set of words, and they don't mean anything. Don't mean anything to anybody else. Therefore, I know not the meaning of the voice. I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. He's talking about tongues. But he gets down here, he says, even so, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts. He wants our worship service to be spiritual. And he's telling them they're to be spiritual. you know, if I have to speak in tongues, I'm going to make up words. Make up words that may not mean anything to me. I've talked about, you know, when I go to the Lord in prayer, you know, isn't it amazing how the length of our prayers is directly disproportionate to our need? You know, when I'm doing well, I'm praying, you know, Lord, can you get me a new car this year? Mine's 2 years old. Can you help me sell my house for an extra $5,000? You know, can you get me a little higher rate on our my 401k or my certificates of deposit? I'm wanting a little higher interest rates. I've got all these things I want to pray for. But when I was in the hospital on the gurney, y'all have heard me talk about this, and I was going in for heart surgery, my prayer was real short. Lord, help me. But it was coming from the heart. Ask the Lord to guide those physicians, because that's where the Lord wants our worship of Him, our prayers, our singing, and our preaching. I need you to be praying right now. You should come into church praying for the ministers, because when you do, you're the one that gets the blessings. If you come to church ready and prepared to sing and pray, listen to the prayer and pray yourself and pray that the Lord will be here and bless us, that He'll shower His manna, as we sang, His holy manna all around us. That's spiritual. And that's the way we're to worship the Lord. And Apostle Paul goes down here, and I'll shorten this. He said, what is it then? What's the answer then? What's the conclusion of this? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. I didn't have any trouble with Brother Darrell's prayer this morning. I listened to it, and I could tell his voice broke up. He was praying from the heart and spirit. And he says, and I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing also with understanding. He wants us to have the Spirit and sing, even if it's just like the man that I sat next to that I couldn't stand. I started listening to him differently, though, and he was singing from the heart, and it changed the way that I listened, because he was excited about saying those things to the Lord. Sing with spirit and with understanding. There's some songs we sing with spirit, and we got so many songs in here we sing with spirit that we know the words and we quit thinking about what they mean. Beautiful One was the one that was asked for, and that's Amazing Grace. The words to that are just outstanding, fitting along with our doctrine. That's one of the most well-sang songs, you know, among Christian religions. And I wonder how many people, though, stop and read the words. How many understand the words? I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I didn't always understand the doctrine of grace. I was blind to it. Now I do. Apostle Paul was one that was blind to it. He was sent out to hear good preaching, and when he did, he arrested the people. He could hear preaching, but he didn't really hear it and understand it. When the Lord opened up his heart, he had been blind, and now he could see. And that's what the Lord does is when He makes us born again. He gives us the ability to hear and see. You have that ability. There's no doubt in my mind that we were talking this morning about who knows whether they're a child of God or not. Your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. None of us know that, but I've spoken before. But you have the absolute, you have the blessed assurance that you're a child of God. I have the blessed assurance that each one of you is. I've not seen the Lamb's Book of Life and won't. But you're here on this Sunday morning, this small crowd that we've got, medium-sized crowd, I should say, not as small as some churches. We're more blessed than some. But I have the blessed assurance that each one of you here is a child of God, or you wouldn't be here this morning. So we are to sing with the Spirit and sing with the understanding. I want to go back and look, and let's talk about it, because our song service is clearly different than all the other song services going on in town. All the churches in town this morning, how many of them are singing without instrumental music, without a choir? Pick out our best singers, put them back here behind the ministers and have a choir, and we can sing a lot better. Sing and be a lot better. Usually when that happens, the congregation quits singing. This is a participatory service. We're all here together to worship one person. Everybody should be participating to get the full blessings of the Lord's Spirit that He brings to us. Most of them, though, don't do that. They have instrumental music because it helps make up for the lack of singing. We've not chosen to do that. In Psalms 98, David is writing to us. I'll skip over here. He starts off, singing to the Lord a new song. It's about singing. Psalms 98, verse 4, he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp. Sing with the harp and with the voice of a psalm. Sing with trumpets and the sound of the cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. That's King David. That's pretty good authority, isn't it? King David says we sing with the harp and with the trumpet and the cornet. Go to Psalm 149. 149, I'll skip down to verse 3. David says here, let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and with the harp. Verse Psalm 150, verse 3, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and the organ. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. David says we should use musical instruments to praise him. That's pretty good authority, isn't it? Why are we not doing that then, if that's what David tells us? Because it doesn't come much higher authority than that. So you go back over here in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, when David is laying out the plans for the building of the temple. He lets Solomon build a temple, but David prepares for it and goes through all these preparatory stuff. I'll skip here a couple. It says, but David in verse 4 of 15th chapter of 1 Chronicles, David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites. And he goes through here and tells all the Levites. In verse 16, David spoke unto the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with music, with instruments of music, psaltery and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting the voice with joy. David assembled together the people to be singers in the temple. Sounds a lot like a choir, doesn't it? Appointed people to be the singers and to use musical instruments. Over a little further over in 23rd chapter of 1 Chronicles, David, when he makes Solomon king, it says, and he also, one of the last things he did, he divided up the Levites and numbered them. Levites, remember, were the priests that were in charge of the service, church service, worship service in the temple. And their number was 38,000, of which 24,000 were set to the work of the house of the Lord, the work in the Lord. 6,000 were officers and judges. Moreover, 4,000 were porters. And 4,000 praised the Lord with instruments which I have made, said David, to praise therewith. Every church that uses instrumental music will go right to David to prove that. Why don't we use instrumental music to help with our service? David did. Of course, we have a specific saying in there that David was a man of, you know, had God on his heart. David's heart was always with the Lord. He used these instruments to praise the Lord. Problem was, we know that people, David, while he had the Lord in his heart, not all the people of Israel did. When David died, you know, they kept worshiping. But the Lord let us know in Isaiah and Amos that I have problems with what you've done with the worship service. You know, the Lord created all these feast days, you know, the Passover, the Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, Pentecost. Feast of the First Fruits had seven feasts that are listed in Leviticus 23. Had these ceremonial feasts. They were supposed to enjoy a meal for a week and do the things that are contingent upon that. And told them that. And he also said, you know, the feast service, he also set out the worship service, the robes that the priests are supposed to wear. I don't wear one of those. He told how they specifically had to be. He told about the tabernacle and what it had to be like. They had to have a holy room and a most holy room. Nobody could go by there except the high priest. Had the Ark of the Covenant in there. The law was inside the temple. Only the priest could go back there. Had to go back there every year and make sacrifices. Made these animal sacrifices. We don't do any of that anymore, do we? They did it in the Old Testament, just like David did with musical instruments. We'll go over here in Isaiah chapter 5, at the end of kind of the Old Testament, and Isaiah's prophesying. He said, woe unto them. And he goes and lists a number of things that the Lord had problems with the nation of Israel. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink and continue until night, until wine inflame them. And the harp and the viol and the tabret and the pipe and the wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. They're to join these feasts, and they're having worship service, but they're not worshiping the Lord. He said, they have communion, they have regularly wine with their feast. You know what? They're drinking a lot of wine. And then they get their minds distracted into other things, and they're not worshiping the Lord. He said, they have forgotten me in their worship service. Because they're enjoying these feasts, they're turning them into parties. Not my words, but he said, that's what they're turning them into, parties for themselves. We're to come here and worship this morning, not as a party, not as a social gathering. There's nothing wrong with the social aspects of our fellowship. We're told to fellowship with each other. But we're not to make the worship service a social fellowship, for social time to get together. We're to come here to worship the Lord, and we get a blessing when we do. Amos tells us also in chapter 5, he goes into the same thing, calling people to repentance, and he goes into several of these, woe unto you that do this, woe unto you. And he gets here, and the Lord speaking, he said, I despise your feast days. The Lord is telling people, I despise your feast days. You go, wait a minute, Lord. Back in 23 Leviticus, you ordered us to have these feast days. You ordered us to have feasts, these festivals in which we ate, worshiped you. He said, I hate and I despise them. I will not smell your solemn assemblies. You're supposed to burn incense. I don't want to smell it anymore. You guys have taken it and abused it. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beast. Take away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols. I don't want to hear your instrumental music. You're making a lot of noise, but it's not to me. You people are worshiping, but you're not worshiping me. You're worshiping yourselves. It's kind of like me when I go to a rock concert back in the 50s. I don't know that we called them rock concerts then. But back in the 50s, I went for my own enjoyment. You know, and I'm going to dance with the music. I'm a drummer. I like the rhythm of the songs. And I enjoy those. I'm not there to worship the Lord, though. I'm not there to worship the Lord in spirit. And Isaiah and Amos says that's what the people have done with the worship services. They've turned it into parties for themselves. Chapter 6, Amos says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. He goes down here and he says, woe unto them that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David. Amos said, you people that are trying to copy David with your instruments of music, woe unto you that do that. They drink wine in bowls, they anoint themselves with chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. He said, they're not worshiping in humility, they're worshiping to themselves. Now, we know the nation of Israel had a lot of troubles back in the old days. They did a lot of things. I focused on the worship service now in these feast days. And he says, you violated all the spirit of all the feast days. It's supposed to be to worship the Lord. You guys have turned them into parties for yourself. And that's the reason we go to parties. And there's nothing wrong with us going to parties. We've been to each other's house for parties and had a good time and watched football games and ate. But that's for our enjoyment. Nothing wrong with fellowship with our fellow people. But when we come to worship the Lord, this place is special. This building is not anything special. But when we, as members of the church, assemble together, it is special. And we need to do that. And the Lord says, we've got to change the way we worship. I'm going to skip over now to the New Testament. When we go into chapter Hebrews, and the Lord says in Hebrews 8 and 9, we're going to change things. Christ is coming along. He is the new high priest. We're doing away with the priesthood. We're doing away with that. We got a new high priest now, and guess what? We've got a new covenant. We're not going to worship the way you did. We've got a new high priest, Jesus. He came and sacrificed himself for one time, and it's over with. All the sacrifices are gone. The old tabernacle, we don't go there anymore. We don't have this special tabernacle. It has to fit all the rules and the curtains and all that stuff. When Christ died, if you'll remember, the curtain in the temple was ripped open. That means we are now open to go directly into where the Lord is, where the Lord dwells. And he dwells in the temple where the law is, above that law, above the Ark of the Covenant. I preached here a while back out of Malachi that, you know, talked about the law of the covenant now is inside us. Because he says here, the Lord says, you know, I find fault. I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers, because they regarded it not. And he said, this is my covenant. I'll put my laws into their hearts and write them in their minds. I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me from the least to the greatest. It's one of the key tenets of our doctrine is that the Lord is in charge of making you know him. He puts himself in your heart. And we know Apostle Paul tells us, you are now the temple. The old temple, the physical temple is gone. We have a spiritual temple that's inside us. We're the temple. Never had a temple without the law. And he says, all right, I'm putting my laws in that temple in your heart. So now the worship service starts right here. It starts from the heart. And he goes on and says, he said, a new covenant is needed. The first one is old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth away is ready to vanish away. The old covenant is gone. Everything with it is gone. And he starts off chapter 9 and says, and verily, verily, that first covenant also had ordinances of a divine service and a worldly sanctuary. It had a worldly sanctuary, a worldly temple. Where's the temple now? It's inside here. It had a worship service. That was the old covenant. What's happened to the old covenant? It's gone. We don't worship that way anymore. We don't worship that way. We don't do that way. You know, we don't have sacrifices. All that is gone. Everything in today's worship begins in the new temple, which is here, in which the Lord has put himself and has written his laws in here. We don't have any of that anymore. All of that is gone. Now, how are we to sing? How are we to pray? How are we to preach? We're to follow the requirements of the New Testament. And everything tells us it's spiritual and it comes from the heart. There is not a single scripture, not a single scripture in the New Testament that authorizes instrumental music in the church, period. Not a single scripture. Everything in the New Testament talks about coming from the heart. And in fact, that's what the Apostle Paul tells us. You go over here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. When we're told to sing, it's told to come in from the heart. Apostle Paul also tells us over in Ephesians chapter 9, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We're to sing and make melody in our heart. Sing spiritual and make melody in our heart, and the songs should come from the heart. And we're songwriters, and I always wanted to be a songwriter, and I never have been. I enjoy writing, but I've never been a songwriter, and I always wanted to be. I love some of the songs. We've had some good songs written recently. And that's what I said I wanted to point out this morning about going forward. I'm trying to pledge myself to looking at the words of a song and following those words. You know, this morning we sang Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace is a wonderful song about humility and depravity. We don't like to preach depravity, that all man is depraved. If you go read the third chapter of Romans, we see Apostle Paul preached it there big time. We've all sinned to come short of the glory. We're all sinners, every one of us. Not one of us is good, period. You have to understand the depravity of man before you can appreciate the grace of the Lord and how he loved us unconditionally. And when you understand that, you want to say, thank you, Lord. I won't make it through the day without having a bad or evil thought about something. You think, well, I'm a good guy. I don't go out and rob banks, and I don't get arrested and stuff. And of course, we're told that if you follow all the law but break it in one accord, you've broken the entire law. So if I have one thought, you know, I've said many times, I think I've followed most of the commandments, 10 commandments, physically. I've not done anything. I've not built an idol to the Lord. Have I had any idols before the Lord? I might have stayed up late and watched a football game and been late to church the next day and missed the church. I just violated the idolatry rule right there. You know, I said I hadn't physically violated any of them, but I know too, have you ever committed murder? I haven't physically, but boy, there's been a couple of people that I could have come close to in my mind. You know, I haven't committed adultery. But boy, I wish I could say that in my mind spiritually, and the Jesus taught that lesson. We have violated the law, and we're guilty, period, of violating the law. So we're depraved, and we all deserve to go to hell. but for his amazing grace. Grace teaches us what sinners we are. It also teaches us how wonderful grace is. And that's what that song's all about. I want to go through the other. We sang the last song, When We All Get to Heaven. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing it. His mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that be. When we all get to heaven, we all shall see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Singing is a major part of worshiping the Lord. It needs to come from here. You're not singing for me. I don't really care what I've learned. I don't really care what you sound like. The Lord wants you to sing in your voice, whatever that voice is. Then he doesn't care what it sounds like. He wants it coming from the heart. I want to spend the rest of my time talking to you about a few songs here. There's so much truth. Come thy fount of every blessing. Come thy fount of every blessing. Every blessing comes from the Lord. And it says, tune my heart to sing thy grace. That ought to be our prayer. Lord, help me sing your grace. Help me sing it with understanding. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming blood. Yeah, I left out a verse. Streams of mercy never ceasing, calls for songs of loudest praise. Doesn't say a perfect voice. It says we're to sing with our loudest praise. Down here it said, prone to wonder. Yeah, our hearts are prone to wonder. Prone to wonder, Lord, I fit it. Prone to leave the God I love. We've all got that in us. But thank goodness for his wonderful blessings. There's beautiful songs that there's sermons in every one of these. When we sing them, we ought to sing them as if they are. 47, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I spoke on this a while back. Isn't it wonderful that he gives us security of heart? He gives us such security in heart. We have a Lord not of fear. We're not afraid of him. We should respect him, that he'll discipline us. If he's disciplining you, that's a good sign that you're a child of God. So he disciplines those he loves. But we have the blessed assurance that we're children of God. You have that assurance. I have the assurance that every one of you here has got a spot reserved for you in heaven. That's blessed assurance. That's what that's talking about. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this freedom of heart and comfort of conscience. I don't worry about, my brothers, my sisters, my kids, my parents, whether they're going to get into heaven. Do I need to do something and worry about them going to hell? I've got a blessed assurance. Whether they've ever been baptized, whether they've joined the Primitive Baptist Church, I know the Lord's in their heart, and I've got a blessed assurance of who they are. We should thank God for that, and that's one of the songs we sing to do that with. 197, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Those are good words, and those goes right to the heart. When darkness seems to hide his face, and there's times when it gets dark and I think I can't see Jesus, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Over there at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he tells us, those that hear me and do what I say, you're like the man that builds his house on a rock. And when the storms come, you're going to withstand the storm. The house won't fall. When you have your beliefs ground in the core of the Lord's grace, you don't really have anything to fear. We've got troubles in this world we have to deal with, but we know our eternal salvation is secure. You have a place in heaven that cannot be taken away from you. I've marked a few here. 217, the Bride of Christ. Church of Christ, we have today a blessing from the Lord. Talks about what the church does for us. Allows us to get together and assemble and worship him. When we come to worship him, we're the ones that leave with a blessing. If we come with the right attitude and the Lord blesses us. He gave her to his son to save and take her home above. He gave her to Jesus to save, and Jesus did it. He saved it. He's the church. We're not talking about the physical building. We're talking about the collective group of the elect. You individually and the collective elect. Verse 2, I love. She was his bride. That's the church. That's you. All the church is all the elect. She was his bride, the bride of Christ, before she knew she had a husband. That's talking about we were saved by grace eternally before the foundation of the world. Before we even knew we had a Savior, we were already saved. She was his bride before she knew. She had a husband dear, and when for her his choice was made, it caused her to draw near. when the Lord puts it in your heart, you find it out, it causes you to draw closer to Him. You may not be perfect, but suddenly you're going to be praying to Him from your heart. Wonderful here, all our doctrines of grace are embedded in these songs. And if we read the songs and understand them, we understand what it means. 239, I am a poor wayfaring stranger. Apostle Peter tells us that we are strangers and pilgrims in this world. It's kind of hard for us to accept, but that's part of our doctrine. It's hard for us to understand. We're strangers here. We're pilgrims here. This is not our home. I'm but a poor wayfaring stranger while traveling through this world of woe. This world gives us a lot of troubles, but we have a home we're going to. Yet there's no sickness, toil, nor danger in that bright world to which I go. I'm going there to see my father. I'm going there to see my mother. I'm going there to see my brethren. I'm going there to see my Savior. We're poor wayfaring strangers here because we have to put up with this world. It's against our human nature to think that, but we know that's true. 557. Wish we had Brother Chris here because this is his favorite song, and I've come to greatly appreciate this. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's a doctrine of depravity and grace, unconditional love that He has for us. Psalm 597. Now in thy praise, eternal King, be all my thoughts employed, while of this precious truth I sing, cast down but not destroyed. No matter what life throws at you now, you may be cast down, but you're not destroyed. Your eternal salvation is preserved. That's the doctrine of preservation. Off the united powers of hell, my soul have sore annoyed. Sometimes you ever feel like you're in hell. I'm having to be going through hell on earth here. Nothing's going right. My kids are going crazy. I'm having trouble with my parents. I can't get along at work. Nothing is going right. That's the united powers of hell. That's Satan working on you. And yet I live this truth to tell, cast down but not destroyed. If you know this song and understand this song, it's going to make life a whole lot easier for you. No matter what happens to me in this world, I may be cast down, but I am not destroyed. I still have my place in heaven. We spoke this week and talked a little bit about it, the story of the rich young ruler in there, about how he was preached to by Christ and said, have you done this? Have you done this? He said, what do I got to do to get eternal life? Well, have you done this? Have you done this? Have you done this? And he said, I've done all those. He said, well, then have you taken all that you have and given to the poor? And he was downcast, and he said, give to the poor and pick up your cross and follow me. And he said, I hadn't done that. And he walked away dejected. He heard the gospel preached, not by a little preacher like this, but by Jesus Christ himself. He rejected it, turned his back on the Lord, and walked away. But if we read that, it said, but the Lord, looking upon him, loved him. Now, we have a Savior that when we rejected him and walked away, he still loves us, and he still saves you a plot in heaven. That's the kind of Lord we have. That's why we're here, and that's why it's important that we sing to him. Sing to him, pray to him, and preach to him. But the singing is one thing we do in a congregation. One of the most beautiful songs that I like that goes to my heart, 363. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. I'm not going to the grave. I used to be scared of that. I used to be scared of being them dropping me down in that box, in that hole 6 feet in the ground, throwing dirt on me. And I'm, you know, and they can't hear me, and I'm looking and trying to get out. I'm not going to be down there. I've learned. My dad helped me on that. The minute you die, you fly away to heaven. Isn't that good? You fly away to heaven immediately upon your death. You don't go in the ground. This old worthless body does. It's getting harder to live with all the time and causing more troubles. And we're praying for people that have got those. And we're encouraged to live as long as we can. He tells us, you know, honor your mother and father that your days on the earth may be long. He knows we want the reward of a long life. And he grants it to us, especially when we worship him. But when we die, we don't die. Our bodies die. That's what the 23rd Psalm is about. You know, Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He's my shepherd. He goes through there and he talks, compares it to sheep. And yea, though he lead me through the valley of the shadow of death. Every spring when you bring those sheep out of the barn for out of the winter and you want to take them up the mountaintop where the meadow is, the shepherd has to lead them because it's scary going up that mountain. Anybody that's driven up the mountains knows it's scary looking over the edge. It's just as scary as those sheep. But the shepherd is leading him. And you lead him up the top. And that's the way it is when you're about ready to die. You get sick and you're dead and it gets scary. And it gets scary to everybody around you. But the shepherd is leading you through that door. Death is not a stopping place. It's a doorway. Like those sheep, when they get to the top of the mountain, then when the shepherd leads them up there, you got this beautiful, lush, green meadow and the spring waters to drink. You can fill yourself up on spring waters and eat that good, lush grass. That's a comparison to heaven. It's scary going through that door of death. But we just pass through it. And the Lord leads us through it. You know, people that, you know, and I don't know what it's like to die. I've never died, I don't think, that I know of. But when you do, we see the people at peace. And usually people get better a lot of times right before they pass away. We know that's a phenomenon we see. But we know that the Lord comes and gives you comfort in that time. And he's going to lead you through that. His rod and his staff, they'll comfort you. When you die, I'll fly away. You know, I remember in church one time, one of the little kids was asked, they were taking questions. The kid asked the minister, says, is there a stairway to heaven? And the minister said, you're not going to need a stairway. You're going to fly. You're going to fly away to heaven. I'll fly away. The one I think I got marked here. Yeah, the last one I had marked there was Amazing Grace, and we went over that. But the Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will be my shield and portion be as long as life endures. We rely on the Lord today and tomorrow while we're here alive. Last one I want to go to. I'll close with this one. I'll ask Brother Keith to pick an appropriate song to close our service. But I'm going to go to number 440. We don't sing this too often. It's a wonderful song and it is a complete sermon in itself. I enjoy this, and this is a great spiritual song to sing. It's not hard for people to get in the spirit of this song. 440. Now to the power of God supreme be everlasting honor given. He saves from hell. We bless his name. He calls our wandering feet to heaven. And I don't care to stay here long. Right up yonder, Christians, away up yonder. Oh, yes, my Lord, I don't care to stay here long. When you understand and you start getting older, I remember Brother George saying, I'm ready to go. You talk to people that understand the doctrine of grace, they get old, they'll say, I'm ready to go. I don't care to stay here any longer. And that's what this song's about. But look at the words. Not for our duties or deserts, but of his own abounding grace. We're going to heaven not because of anything we've done, but because of his abounding grace. He works salvation in our hearts and forms a people for his praise. He puts salvation in his heart. He's the one that puts grace in your heart, and he forms a people for his praise. That's you. That's us. That's why we're here. He has formed us. He has put himself in your heart to come and praise him. And it does, of course, again. 'Twas his own purpose that began to rescue rebels doomed to die. I don't know why he's rescued us rebels, but he has. We were doomed to die, and he has rescued us rebels. He gave us grace in Christ his Son, before he spread the starry sky, before the world began, he gave us grace then. Before you even knew it, like I said earlier, before you even knew you were his bride, before he spread the starry sky, before he created the earth, he had already put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and promised and secured that through the death of Christ. Jesus, the Lord, appears at last and makes his Father's counsels known. When Jesus appears, everybody's going to know who he is. Everybody's going to know who God is. Everybody. Some are going to go to heaven. The majority are going to go to heaven, and some are going to go to hell, but they will all know it then. He declares the great transactions past and brings immortal blessings down. He's going to end this world, and he's going to bring immortal blessings with him when he does. Those are immortal for us. We get a blessing of living in immortality. Last verse, he dies, and in that dreadful night, did all the powers of hell destroy. all the powers of hell, when he died on the cross, he destroyed hell and Satan and everything, every grasp that they have on us. You know, we're daily tempted by Satan. He would love to tempt one of us away because he thinks he wins. But he can't win because the God, when he died on the cross, he has the ability to destroy hell and he destroys it for us. Rising up, he brought our heaven to light and took possession of the joy. You know, though death, where is thy sting, or grave, where is thy victory? Death and the grave have no victory over us because of what Christ has done for us. All these, and I've skipped a lot of wonderful songs in here. When I started looking through these, I had to call back. I ended up with about 40. I had to call back to those I thought I could do today. There's so many songs in here that are wonderful words that people have written that's come from the heart. We should sing them from the heart. That's the song service. It's as much a part of this service as my speaking is. If we sing it, because then you see, to finish song service is intended to lift us up and get us on a plane where then we can go into the preaching service and enjoy that. We serve a wonderful Lord who gives us a very simple worship service. Don't be corrupted away from the simplicity that is in Christ. Don't be corrupted away from when you want to go. And there's lots of churches today that I watch and I kind of keep track of, and they're all offering great benefits and, you know, and things to eat in the lobby. And I mean, I don't want to get into it, but they all try to do things to attract people in. Those are, and I probably enjoy many of them. I see some every now and then, I enjoy that in the flesh. But I'm not really thinking about the Lord when I do that. When I sing a song to the Lord, I'm singing it to him. And I'm singing it from the heart. And that's what counts. That's when you really get the blessing. It's when we sing from our heart. We sing with spirit, and we sing with understanding. We should read the words, understand what they mean, and us repeat them. I appreciate your kind attention. My prayers, the Lord will richly bless you.